Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, pray that your Holy Spirit may come in amongst us now and may he open up your word to us this morning. Amen. When I prepare a sermon, I read the passage first and think of anything that surprises me. And two things stuck out from that passage. First of all, trampled sounded quite harsh language, trampled underfoot. We'll come back to that later. And also that expression, good works. As we know, Christians are not saved and not made right with God through good works, but good works is an outpouring of how thankful Christians should be. So the passage this morning is about salt, not much left of that, and it's about light. A fairly easy passage, you may think, but actually as I studied it, it's been quite a challenging passage to me personally. Salt was often mentioned in the Old Testament as an analogy for the children of Israel. And in Isaiah 42:6, we see the children of Israel likened to light because they should be revealing God. The visual aids that Jesus did were often aids that were close at hand. The Dead Sea was nearby, and that was a source of salt. There was no light at the time, so people would have to light their houses with oil and candles. Light was very important to them. And so I'm told, around Jerusalem, even to today, there are lots of hilltop villages and communities that at night really shine out to those around. Last week, Eddie very clearly was showing us from verses 3 to 11 of some of the characteristics that Christians should be showing. But this morning we'll be looking more at maybe how outsiders perceive us as Christians. And if you are a Christian today, then I warn you, you're going to be challenged by this passage. And if you're not a Christian, maybe this is what you should be seeing in the lives of those people that you know who say that they are Christians. So today, I suppose the big point that we'll be thinking about is that we need to be high-vis Christians. That we need to be wearing a high-vis jacket. I'll explain that in just a moment. But just bear with me. It's not that I'm feeling cold, but I think you know, most of you who know me know that I'm a fanatical Welsh and rugby supporter. And the reason I am, my surname is Williams. We've got four children and three of them have got these as middle names. My email address is this, cumronda at BT Open World. My favourite hymn is a hymn called Cumronda. We had it our wedding 39 years and 358 days ago. Work that out. My wife and I were standing virtually in this same spot now, singing this hymn. And with a little bit of persuasion, but not too much, our four children who got married, three of them in this church, actually had that same hymn at their wedding. We had this photo, or I had this photo in our downstairs loo. I wanted it in the lounge or the bedroom, but Claire wouldn't allow me that. And it still celebrates the fact that Wales were the Grand Slam champions. And if that isn't enough, if you know where I live, you'll know that I have a flag flying in the garden, a Welsh flag. And not only that, but that flagpole used to be at Cardiff Arms Park. So you can be in no doubt that I'm a Welsh supporter, that I love Welsh rugby. But I suppose the challenge today for me and for all of us is my Christian faith, is my shining out for Jesus, is that as so clear to my friends and my colleagues that it is that I'm a Welsh rugby supporter. And of course, for those of you at home, it won't be being fanatical about Wales, but we'll all have things that we are really fanatical about. It might be our hobbies. It might be the things that we do in our spare time. It might be our work. It might be our family. And they are very good and very God-given things. But the challenge this morning is, are those things actually more important to us than shining the love of Jesus to others? Right, I'm going to have to take this off now, because I know certainly one very good friend of mine will be switching off if he sees that Welsh shirt for much longer. So let's first of all look at the first illustration, the illustration of salt. The chemists amongst you, those of you who are doing it at school now or have done it in the past, will know that formula, NaCl. That brings a few memories back, doesn't it, for some of us older ones. And they will quite rightly say to me that actually sodium chloride is a very stable compound. And yet we see in the passage that Christians shouldn't lose their saltiness. The salt that Jesus was probably referring to was around the Dead Sea. That's the sea that has no inlet or outlet, so I'm told it's getting saltier and saltier all the time. And around the outside are deposits of salt, but they're not pure salt. And in those deposits that are found, when the rain comes, that salt is removed because sodium chloride is soluble. That is removed, and you are left with probably no more than grit. Grit that is going to be very useful sprinkling on roads and footpaths. A substance that we thought was salt, but actually it ends up just being trampled on under a foot. So the challenge is that we as Christians need to be salty, that we need to ensure that we don't lose our saltiness. Because as you know, salt is used for a number of things. It's used as a preservative, less so nowadays because we have fridges and freezers. But it was essential in those days to have salt. Otherwise, fish and meat would just go rotten. And another use is putting flavour into food. What is the point of unsalted butter? Maybe you could email and give me the point of it. So yes, Christians need to be salt. We need to be in the community. We need to be mixing. It's all right meeting together on a Sunday morning as salt. And it's easy to be salt on a Sunday morning. But we need to go out in our community and actually being salt amongst our friends, our family, our neighbours, the people we spend our time with, our work colleagues at school. The previous verses, as Eddie was reminding us, tells us of a number of things that we should be showing in our lives, that we should be, in verse 3, trusting in God alone. Verse 4, we're trusting God even in those difficult times. Verse 5, we are humble. Verse 6, we are sincere in all that we do. We are forgiving in verse 7. We are staying pure in verse 8. We are humble. We are forgiving. We are peacemakers. And actually, they're not sort of the qualities that you see very much today. They're almost, some of them, fairly negative qualities. Being humble. The emphasis now is putting yourself forward, of being great, of being successful. But Jesus is saying that if we show those characteristics as we live our lives as Christians, then that will have an influence on those around us. So much so, in verse 16, that people will praise God for those good works that they see in our lives. They won't be praising us, but they'll be praising God. And that's surely, as Christians, what we want to do. We want to share our love of God and for Jesus with those whom we work with, those whom we love, those whom we care about. We want to point those to Jesus. But it's very easy to compromise. To compromise our lives, that our lives aren't as sorted as they should be. That sort is a running away, that we're in danger of there being no sort at all. And Jesus says quite chillingly that actually there is no use for people like that. We need to retain our sorteness. But unfortunately, we all do things wrong, as we've remembered at the start of the service today. So we need to ensure that we stay right with God, because sin and doing wrong things affects the sorteness. We need to make sure that we don't compromise of the things that we believe in. And we believe in them because the Bible tells us that. Because we compromise, the sorteness is not going to be so effective. How do our friends, how does the world see us? Does the world see me as a fanatical Welsh rugby supporter, or does it see me more as somebody who's trying to influence people and the world in a very small way, who are trying to point others to Jesus? Social media is an amazing opportunity nowadays. We wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for it and technology. And I wonder, that media could be used for so much good. It can be used for us as Christians as showing that we really are full of salt. So that the posts that we post, that the tweets, for the hashtags, I'll let you into a secret, I don't really know what any of those mean. But they could be a good opportunity of showing others what is important in our lives. But it is so easy for those posts, those tweets, to actually reflect more of what we're doing, of what we've done, and how successful we've been. I wonder if we are into that, and I hope that we are, because it's a brilliant opportunity. I hope that if people look at them very quickly, that they'll know that we are Christians. Because church and the things that we do as Christians will be shown quite regularly. We need to be in the community. We need to be getting out there as Christians on social media. But we need to be making sure that all the time we are promoting God and his love for us, and the love that he has for everyone that we're trying to reach. Secondly, let's look at a light in verses 14 to 16. Light gives warning. It gives warmth. It is a wayfarer. All these things. And Jesus later on actually says that he is the light of the world. But I think here Jesus is using this illustration quite simply, not that we shouldn't be people who give out a warning and provide warmth and comfort and joy and help to show people the way. But I think Jesus is just saying that we need to be seen. Like that village on the top of the hill could be seen from miles around, from everyone living in and around Jerusalem. Just like that householder who made sure she filled her lamp and had it shining on the top of a light lampstand so that others could see that she was in, that others could see that she was available to be talked to. But actually this verse, although it's a challenge, it's actually quite a privilege, because Jesus is encouraging us to join in his work. He's encouraging us to be lights of the world. Now, we're not shining out how good we are, but if we're putting into practice verses 3 to 11 that we heard about last week, then that is shining something of Jesus' love and Jesus' characteristics through me to others. John Stott, who many of the older ones will know as one of our greatest evangelical theologians that we've ever had, actually suggested that this illustration wasn't so much about of shining out Christian characteristics, but it was more about of shining out what was right and what was biblically placed. The government will continue to bring out more laws or propose more laws about conditions about marriage, and they won't be all about a man marrying a woman. There will be more laws about divorce to make it even easier. There'll be more about gender identity. There'll be more laws about abortion. There'll be more laws about what is taught at school. There'll be more laws about what, as Christians, we're allowed to say. What's our reaction to this? Do we stay quiet about it? Although it's biblically wrong, we see it clearly, some of these things, it's wrong. The Bible says that is wrong, what the government is proposing. Do we stay quiet at that dinner party when discussion comes up about same-sex marriage, for instance? Or do we do something about it? Do we courageously become like a light? When did you last write to Peter Aldis about a bill that is about to be presented before Parliament that we know is contrary to what we believe as Christians? In fact, we did about 3 weeks ago about the divorce bill, that they're trying to make divorce even easier than it is at the moment. What's our reaction when we're in a dinner party and a number of crude jokes are beginning, the wine has flowed, and sort of almost crude jokes are beginning to be told? Do we step away, or do we quietly join in with a little laughter, but no signs of disapproval? What's our reaction at work when they're talking about a TV program, which actually we know, as a God-fearing person, we shouldn't be watching, but we join in the conversation? They know that we watch it, rather than taking the stand to actually say, no, I disagree. So a very challenging passage. And I was going to say, what would be said at my funeral service? I can tell you now that we're going to be singing Qumran. That will be no surprise to you. But that's a bit morbid, because actually that's too late. So the challenge is now, what are people saying about Peter Williams? Yes, he's a fanatical Welsh rugby supporter. Yes, he's good with children. He loves his family. How many grandchildren's children has he got now? I've lost count. He loves his sport. He goes to the proms regularly. How far down that list? And these are all good things. They're not bad things. Please don't misunderstand me. They're all good things. Things that we should praise God for and thank him for, and not take these things for granted. Absolutely no. But how far down that list will they be saying, actually, he's a Christian? Actually, going to church on a Sunday is absolutely high priority for him. I think he even goes twice. He often follows up. I've had some problems recently. He didn't just phone up once, but he's continually, a year, 2 years later, he's still keeping in touch with me. He's someone who actually quite often offers to pray. I don't pray, but he often offers to pray for me if I'd like to. And actually, he's a very kind person. And, well, actually, he's a very godly person. Now, friends, I'm not trying to say that I am those things, anything back, because this passage has been so challenging to me. And I hope it is challenging to each one of us. But I hope that the challenge is, and I'm not going to put it on because it's actually been my saddlebag for I don't know how long, and sadly I don't wear it, and I should do so, I will get it washed. But as Christians, we should be people who are wearing high-vis jackets. High-vis jackets because it should be obvious by the things that we say, by the things that we do, the actions that we have, how much of verses 3 to 11 they see in our lives, that we are a Christian. And we're a Christian, and more important than anything else, we want to promote Jesus to others. That we need to be people who the people around us see Jesus in us. That doesn't come necessarily naturally. And I think the wake-up call for us all is we need to take God seriously. We need to be full-time Christians. There's no place for closet Christians, quiet Christians who just hide under that bushel mentioned in verse 15. We need to shine out to others. And to have the desire to do that, we need to get to know God better. We need to really understand how much he loves us. And that will mean that Sunday mornings at 10 is not the only time during the week that we open our Bibles. That will mean that that's not the only time in the week when we get down on our knees and we pray to that Heavenly Father. That means that that's not the only time of the week when we may actually decide, maybe for the first time, to read a book about Jesus, a Christian book. And there are thousands of them out there. And if we seek to know God better and to understand afresh how much he loves us, then we want to share and show that love to those around us. Can we just pause for a moment, and I'm going to just pray, and maybe something's touched us, maybe there's something we need to put right in our lives so that becomes more obvious that we love the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the love that you have for each one of us. Sorry that we often forget how much you love us. Sorry we so often put you at the bottom of the things that we want to do. Just fill us afresh with your love, and may each one of us be people that shine out to those around us that love that you have for us, and in fact that love you have for all of your creation. Amen.